Take your Bibles. Join me and take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 4. Back to Colossians. Not that we ever really leave it. We have 66 books that we never leave. They have us by the grace of God. I told Brother Jeff, is he back there? There he is. I told him a few weeks ago, we're not just going to rush right through these last verses of Colossians. As one of the writers I read this week said, God doesn't have any dead, dry wood in his trees. There's nothing in the Bible that's superfluous. Oh, that's just bulk. That's just extra stuff. Not at all. We're going to pick up in verse 7. You know, as we've gone through this letter of Paul's to the Colossians, you and I feel such an admiration for the Apostle Paul. You can't help it. Feel that. It's right to feel that. We adore Christ and we worship Him, but we see in Paul things that we are just so moved by. But as we begin verse 7 and as we close out the rest of these verses, Paul did not labor alone. He wasn't his own man. His own meaning, I'll do this by myself. I've got it. He had others. He needed others. And we're going to meet him in heaven. God gave Paul gospel companions that were faithful brothers. Faithful brothers and sisters. But certainly these men. And they're great examples for us today, all of us. So let's pick it up. Colossians 4, verse 7 and 8. All my state, or all my current circumstances, shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your hearts. Amen. Let's stop there. God bless His word to us. Let me pray. Father, we are such blessed people to have this letter and these letters, these written living books of the Bible. Thank you for Colossians and that Paul wrote them by the moving of your Spirit, but that he had other men. That as we come to these men, your servants, we can learn, we can be helped. Thank you, Lord. Teach us now. Teach us of our great Savior that we just sang about. Oh, Lord Jesus, shepherd your flock. We love you. Amen. Faithful Christians, what a great blessing and absolute necessity they are in the church. Faithful, you could use the word trustworthy Christians. But they might actually be a little bit more rare than we would think. Don't take that wrong, but this truth is huge in the people of God. A faithful Christian, Solomon asked in Proverbs 20, but a faithful man, who can find? I went back and read it in some of the other translations. Other translations would say, everyone says that he's trustworthy, but a faithful man who can find? That's what Solomon's getting. They're not easy to find. A faithful one, a faithful friend, a faithful brother or sister in the faith. Would you consider yourself a faithful Christian? Or, let me put it another way, is your life in Jesus Christ stable and growing and trustworthy? Are you a help to others? Are you a means of advancing the gospel near and far? Just as you are in Christ. Let me give an illustration that relates to our text today. I have a very, very significant letter. Never have I written something quite this significant. And I need one of you to take this letter and to go across the state, and I've got to be sure you get this there. This letter will probably impact Christians not only today and tomorrow and this week, but perhaps for decades or even centuries. This right here. But in addition to delivering it, I don't just need you to get it there, but I need you to help explain and shepherd through it and beyond what just I've written. I need you to help other Christians. I need you to be faithful in the truth, to help other Christians, to care for them. I need you to be able to defend sound doctrine and other matters pertaining to walking and knowing Jesus Christ, walking with, knowing Him. Can I trust one of you to deliver this? You know where I'm going. Any takers? Wants to do that? You see, beloved, that's what we're dealing with here, with Tychicus. That was him. That shows you the significance. We read these letters like Colossians and Ephesians, and we read them because other men were a part of the faithful labor in the gospel. Paul's in prison. How are you going to get this letter? I don't have a driver's license and an airplane or anything. How am I going to get this to Canada or somewhere? I'm going to have to trust somebody else. Paul had to trust Tychicus. He was one of those kind of men. He was a faithful brother. Now remember, if Paul is limited, Christ is not, right? Christ will get that letter. He'll get his people shepherded. He'll give them the truth. He will build them up. Whatever means he uses, but Tychicus is one of those vessels. You and I are one of those vessels. Sometimes we live in such awe of the scriptures that we forget in time and space, that's who we are. We're messengers. We're letter bearers. We take letters to people. Sometimes it's just simply the way you visit with someone or you answer a question or how you choose or don't choose certain things. It's letters. It's the gospel. It's being faithful. These Colossians needed teachings, right? These are relatively new Christians. They needed warnings. They needed warnings. They needed cautions. They needed to be protected. They needed to be told what was heretical and what was pure, what was gospel reality and what was mystical and superstitious. They needed help. They needed encouragement. Any Christian in any place in the world right now needs encouragement. We all do. We need words of life. We need the realities of life in Jesus Christ and all that He's giving us, and we need it from each other. You being faithful is a part of walking with Jesus Christ. There's not just a few that have to be faithful. Getting ahead of myself. And they certainly needed, the Colossians that is, they needed input on Paul. You know they loved him. He's in prison. They've never met this man. Some of you hear us talk about men of the faith that have shaped us. You hear us talk about him and you might think, I wish I had met that brother. And I hear other men talk about men like that. So Paul's situation was significant and the Colossian Christians needed input. Not just somebody that can get it there, but somebody could help them in Christ. And God's man, specifically the Lord Jesus Christ, man for his church was Tychicus, one of those men. But I'm going to zero in on him today because Paul does. Paul tells the Colossians what kind of man he really was. Brothers and sisters, I want to make sure we realize this is masculine and feminine. This is for every Christian. Tychicus is a brother in the faith, but this is true for you sisters. The things we will see today, what Paul's giving to his church or the church of Jesus Christ, pertains to all of us. Let the life of Tychicus, in the brief qualities or characteristics of his life, let them speak to you today and encourage you. Let them impact you. What he was back then, let it shape you right now. We learn from the past and we walk in those truths today. See the Lord Jesus Christ in this man and what marked him as a faithful brother. I'll say to you, there's many, many, many in this room that I would hand this letter to do that, to go, to be faithful in it, to give it, and then to be able to fill in more. But we all have more ground, more growth that we could go forth in. So I want us to learn from Tychicus in two big ways. Tychicus the man and Tychicus the messenger. The man is going to deal with the qualities that Paul points out about him. And the messenger is about what his role was to be with expressing and sharing and helping. Before we go into this, the man and the messenger, let me give a very brief, just a snapshot of history. Who is Tychicus? Brother Sinclair Ferguson, who is Tychicus? Well, we only have 5 references to him in the New Testament, but let me just give you a quick snapshot. He is mentioned 5 times. He first appears to us in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20, if you want to go look at it later. Paul mentions him. Ephesians chapter 6, which is the companion text to this, almost exactly the language that Paul gives to the Ephesians. And he mentions this man Tychicus. Colossians chapter 4, which we're in today, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and Titus chapter 3. He's mentioned 5 times. Probably the Gettysburg Address and the amount of text on Tychicus are the same. They're not much, right? But trust me, we learn so much more from these verses on Tychicus than the Gettysburg Address. You get the point. We have in a capsulated piece about a man that was instrumental, a part of the gospel going forth that we are beneficiaries to this day from. That's the truth we have to all see and give thanks to God in. Tychicus might have been converted, come into Jesus Christ during Paul's 3-year ministry in Ephesus. You'll read, it's not clear from the New Testament, but there's a high likelihood that in that window of time that Tychicus met and was converted under Paul's ministry and was joined to him. And so as we pick it up further and we as you piece it together, Tychicus had accompanied Paul at the close of his 3rd missionary journey. He was one of the laborers. He was one of the men with him. And he had traveled, as we see, in advance of Paul from Macedonia to Troas. He had gone forth to Troas, and he had been waiting there for the apostle to come to Troas. That's at least how we piece it together in the story of the history of this man. And now we're about 4 years later, and Tychicus had been with Paul in Rome during Paul's imprisonment. Just stop right there. Tychicus had been with Paul during this stretch of time. Paul's been in prison in Rome. Tychicus is not a prisoner, but Paul could have certain visitors. Can you imagine the times that Paul had with Tychicus? You talk about the best of seminary training, second only to walking with the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, that the disciples did in those 3 years. But here is Tychicus with the Apostle Paul in the ultimate seminary of training in the gospel and in the church. Tell that to Brother Sinclair next Thursday. He would agree. So it's a beautiful bond that they have. Tychicus had been commissioned, and that's where we come into this piece today in Colossians. Tychicus had been commissioned or appointed, set apart, selected by the Apostle Paul to carry the letter to the Colossians and to the Ephesian Christians. Those two areas geographically are 125 miles apart. So they would have gone. It says that Onesimus is with him. We'd see that in verse 9. But they're going back. They're going back to these people, and they're going to take the letters and deliver them to the Colossian Christians and the Ephesian Christians. So clearly, beloved, this man Tychicus was trusted of the Apostle Paul. He was a vessel in the master's hands. He was a man of Jesus Christ and used in that way. So now, let's go back. Tychicus the man, the Christian. Look at verse 7. The King James says, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you." Right here then. "Who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord." Paul, in verse 7, in these short statements about Tychicus, he gives the highest commendation that a Christian could receive. We're talking about the ultimate in a portfolio or in a resume of a man's life. Enoch, what does it say about Enoch? He walked with God. You have these Christians in the history of the world, and we just get a phrase about him in the Bible. Luke, the beloved physician. You know what? You know how much is behind that kind of a statement? Paul's making that kind of statement in verse 7. He gives this glowing, beautiful, heartfelt commendation of Tychicus. I'm sending a letter to you, Colossians, dear Christians, but I'm sending it through a very precious man and friend of mine. That's what he's saying. You get a delivery like that. UPS and FedEx, they don't make deliveries like that. They don't have emotion. They just want to get your box to you and get out of the way and go. We're talking about delivery from the heart, the words of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about a letter that God had given Christians that we're reading today. It's living. And he's taking it. What does he say about him? He was a beloved brother. That's the first thing he says. He was beloved. He was a beloved brother. Yeah, you could say Tychicus was a helper. That's not enough. Oh, he was a laborer. You know what it means to have a helper, right? And a helper is good. It's needed in various spheres of life. But we're talking about the kind of the ultimate helper, laborer, men hazarding their lives for the gospel. And he calls him more than just a helper, an errand boy. He calls him a beloved brother, precious, cherished. So Paul is expressing something about Tychicus that we can all learn from. He was marked, you should be marked, as Tychicus was, that you're one who has a bond or a love for God's people that is absolutely visible. It's vibrant. It's alive. That it's beloved. You're beloved in the faith together. You have this from Paul saying it. Paul saying he was really dear. Very dear to Paul. Paul puts him at risk, if you want to put it that way. Humanly speaking, he could be killed, he could be martyred or whatever. But to Paul, this was all about Christ advancing his kingdom and his church, and Tychicus was a part of that. But he was beloved, very, very precious to him. So a true brother like Tychicus, a true brother in the faith, a true sister in the faith, has that kind of a bond, right? It should be visible. It should be real. We trust each other in Christ because we know each other. We're bonded to each other. I would hand this letter, this picture, to Alan Pop or to Brother Lee or you men, Jared or somebody. I'd hand it without even a qualm. I have total trust that they would be faithful in that. That's how we should live with each other. That's how close we should be. I know the world would look on and go, I don't understand that kind of relationship. But that's the way it is. That is true in Christ. Every now and then in my vocational work, and I went to a conference the other day, Friday, I had to go briefly, and I'll meet a Christian man, and right there in front of the world, he'll just come over to me and he'll just embrace me. That's not corporate norm. That's not how it's done in those circles. It's not as prim and proper. But that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's alive in us. It's precious to us. You could be in an airport or wherever. So he's beloved. I have a great picture of this from years ago. And the few of you, not as very many in this church today, used to be able to go to the Bentley camps. Baker and Jane and Tom and Betty and Jeff and Tommy and others, Linda, different ones of us through the years, we go to those Bentley camps that you hear about down in Louisiana. And that's where Brother Conrad was. Labored, and that's where the Christians would come. And one of these times, Don Johnson for Arkansas was there, and he was the featured speaker. Jeff probably remembers this, and things like this would happen at Bentley often. And Don Johnson got up there to preach, and Brother Conrad was up there, and Don Johnson embraced him and broke. And you've got 200 people sitting there. And it wasn't a 10-second deal, was it? If anybody remembers being there. Don Johnson, just the emotion that he felt with Conrad. It was kind of like a Tychicus and Paul. There was a depth of connection there. These are aspects of the reality of us being united. We are a living people. And Don Johnson felt to Conrad such love and devotion. And it was on display. It wasn't planned. Eventually, Conrad helped him stiffen up again and get ready to preach. And he did. But it was a picture, a beloved brother, Paul Tychicus. He's a beloved brother. I'm sending you, he's a beloved brother, dear Colossians. Says the same thing to the Ephesians. This is a beloved brother. This is a faithful man. So Paul's gospel labor was deeply tied to Tychicus. There was a tie-in to that labor going forth. And it was based upon the bond they had of love in Christ Jesus. I mean, you could even put it this way. I don't think I'm going too far to say this. Without that kind of bond together, their gospel labor would have been limited, perhaps. You follow me on that? Without that kind of bond as brothers, as true Christians together that builds trust and transparency, how can you go forth doing things? It's a part of the bond that we should have, we do have. And it plays out in so many ways. So first he calls him a beloved brother. Tychicus the man was a beloved brother. That's what a faithful Christian is. They're beloved, they're cherished, they're treated as such, they're respected as such. But he also calls him a faithful minister. There in the middle of verse 7. He's a faithful minister. You go and look up that word faithful and it means trustworthy. Absolutely trustworthy. So that Paul, not only did he love him, I mean, we're talking a pretty significant thing I'm sending. I trust him. He is a trusted minister, a laborer in the things of Christ, in his kingdom. And so Paul is giving that responsibility, giving that commission to a man who he loves and he totally trusts his handling of the gospel, his accuracy, his willingness to give of himself. Now we're getting somewhere. This is where FedEx and all the other delivery guys say, I don't know what he's talking about now. We're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ being cared for and given and advanced in people's lives to those who are trustworthy. And that's what Tychicus was. You see why we could just read off the rest of these verses and go, well, I love the book of Colossians. Let's move on. Wait a minute here. Do you understand that the gospel in that day and in our day is tied to these kinds of faithful Christians? You, beloved, you and I. Paul wasn't just going to select anybody to send his letters to the Colossians and the Ephesians, right? You mamas don't just give your babies just as anybody to care for, do you? Kristen and I went over yesterday and got to hold our newest little grandson, Luke. Bethany doesn't just hand him off to anybody. I plopped him up on me and he started sleeping. But she's not just going to walk into Target and hand him to anybody. You get the picture, right? He's 18 days old or whatever it is. And so Paul is giving this responsibility to a trustworthy man, a man who was faithful, faithful that he would be faithful to the people of Christ that Paul would probably never see again. And in fact, he didn't. Never met the Colossians, and he never saw the Ephesians again. And he chooses a reliable man, a man that would be faithful to that charge, just as you get in God's providence, set in a place to be responsible, to care for others, speak to others, give them truth, give them warnings. It's not just pastors that do that, not just elders. Every Christian in our own way. But this thing of being faithful, trusted to get it there. Have you ever had to deliver something really, really expensive or important? I was asking Jesse and Kayla and them in the car, what's the most important thing you've ever had to deliver? Charles, you and Benjamin and Dave, and you guys think about that. We might at lunch. You think of it, the most expensive thing. I kind of had almost a panic moment thinking about it. I think Papa one time, that's Krista's dad, had me make a deposit for him. It was pretty sizable. It's just a bunch of stuff on paper, but you don't blow that with your father-in-law or soon-to-be father-in-law. But I worked at UNT when I was a freshman. I just went here my freshman year before I went off to Arlington. But I worked there on campus, and it was an extension of the business school, and so it was about training classes, meaning advancement of professional training and courses in this region and then all over the country, and books and materials were shipped. And I'm working in the shipping and packing division. Man, I get to pack books. And that's what I did. And I packed them up, me and one or two other guys, and we would. So I'm a steward there. And these conferences had top-notch people coming from around the country and around our region. And they would meet at these fancy hotels or these conference centers. And they would have people come in, and they pay money, and they're there, and it might be 2 days or 4 days or whatever. And they have to have their materials. By the way, this is throwaway stuff, but it's just a sample. They would have to have their material to deal with it. I mean, to do the conferences and do the training. And so Philip gets the van all loaded, and I got to go to Dallas. And to this day, Every now and then when I'm going through Dallas, I'll look and I say, boop, I made a delivery right there to that hotel 40 years ago or whatever it is. And I think about that. And the reality is, beloved, in that responsibility, I wasn't a high-paid employee, but I'm responsible to get something very important taken. And if I had blown it, there were thousands of dollars, thousands of quantifiable dollars and people and time, and people have come. If I just decide I'm going to pull off for the day and go to Brahms for 2 hours and then go play golf, things don't go well. It just doesn't go well. You have to be faithful in that. So I just drive the van down there and I unload things and the conference goes on and no big deal, right? But that's a moment in time. You see things like that. Beloved, you're holding the gospel of Jesus Christ in day-to-day life, that you're taking it forth. Not just when the brothers go to Romania or somewhere, or Jordan, or wherever it may be. It's day-to-day. We are, and you are, to be a faithful Christian, trustworthy. Deliver what God has given you. Deliver it in the faithfulness to Him and to His, our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So for Tychicus, it's not just trying to get it there, but he had to be faithful in details about it, not just delivering. That brings us to the third aspect. First, he says he's beloved. He's a brother. He's bonded. He's close to Paul. Second, he's trustworthy. He's absolutely reliable, faithful. Therefore, Paul knew that he would give his life unto Christ to get it there. But 30 says he's a fellow servant. Go back to the end of verse 7. He's a fellow servant in the Lord, meaning in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a servant. Anybody in here have NASB? I think it says, doesn't it say bond servant? Yes, he's a bond servant. He's under one much greater. Sometimes with the language of this, we don't realize the force. There's one great one in the kingdom of God, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody else is his servant, joyfully brought into his kingdom about whatever you're to be about. Just like being with Jason the other day at lunch. If he's a translator and he's helping translate the gospel, that man has a lot of responsibility. The way those words come out and the way those words are expressed, souls of men weigh in the balance over that. We're talking significant things, beloved, when you have a family member going into the holidays this year and they ask you a question about the gospel. Right then, you're a servant. You're a vessel for Jesus Christ to communicate the truth. One statement, one verse you might give to them. So he was a servant and that he was a laborer. He's a submitted man unto Jesus Christ, yes, to Paul in a sense, but they were surrendered to Christ to serve him and to serve him well. It was significant, the gospel labor that they were about. I mean, you talk about dynamic times, first century church and hostility and Judaism and all these things that they were facing and going into pagan areas and the Gentiles being brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ and weirdness and strange debauchery, as Tom said in praying early, weirdness at all levels. Welcome to America, right? And yet the gospel's going forth, and now as a servant of Jesus Christ, he is going forth to serve Christ, just like Paul was. Paul's in prison, Tychicus goes forth. Think of that, beloved, in your life, wherever you're about. You're serving him. You're under him. And think of what this meant to the health of the local churches in that day. Think of what that meant. A man like Tychicus being with them. Can you imagine the conversations? We're going to share lunch today, the Lord willing. Can you imagine the kinds of talks they would have had? They're reading and rereading the letter to the Colossians. Can you imagine them saying, Tychicus, help us with this? It wouldn't have been the first time for Tychicus to read it. Highly unlikely. Who knows how much he had already been through it with Paul in preparation. But I want you to rejoice in the the kindness of God for him giving us men like this. Let it stir your heart to be marked by the same qualities, the same life, that you're faithful in these things, that you view yourself as a servant. You don't diminish your role. No telling the impact this had on Christians, those Christians, non-Christians coming into Jesus Christ. No telling the impact it had on 13-year-olds and 19-year-olds and 25-year-olds and 60-year-olds, etc. Young boys and women and widows and men who have been brought out of paganism and all. And all of a sudden, there he is talking with them. Think of this. He's a servant reading with them, teaching them, admonishing them, strengthening them. So, is that enough time? No, for Tychicus the man. I'm just barely hitting the high spots. But Paul calls him a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant. That's the man. That's sufficient on anybody's tombstone, right? He served Jesus Christ as a beloved brother of God's people, etc., and faithful. But that's just a quick snapshot of the man. What about the messenger? Go back. Look at verse 8. Whom I've sent unto you for the same purpose. It's interesting here because the King James doesn't probably translate this as well in the original language. It talks about that he might know your estate, that Paul would know how they were doing and comfort your hearts. Really, the language in the ESV and NASB and all, it speaks of them that Paul, his situation, like it says at the beginning of verse 7, Paul's situation and all that's going on with Rome and all that's going on with the gospel would be made known to the Colossian Christians. But ultimately, it did go both ways. Paul would want to know how they're doing. But look at this. He was a messenger. Tychicus had to be, he had to possess truth as a messenger. Not just the written letter, but the gospel as he had been brought into. 3, 4, 5 years, whatever that timeline had been that he had been converted. He was a messenger of the highest order, right? I mean, you talk about the high calling to be a messenger. He was to bring written words and verbal words. How the Colossians would navigate through difficulties had to be a part of what Tychicus helped them with. So often in the Christian journey together, you're struggling. We struggle with, how should I view this? What does this mean? It's not just that we're talking about a body of truth that we get it all outlined and all perfectly structured like the chemical chart, which has changed dramatically since I was a sophomore in high school. But we don't just have this chart. That's it. That's everything about Christianity. Well, I'm just going to hold to that, and that takes care of everything. No, that's not how it. The gospel is revealed truth, but we live and walk in it, and we're being opened up to more of the majesties of those truths day by day by the grace of the Holy Spirit. And so there's growth. There's advancement, and Tychicus has to help them. They don't have Paul with them. They don't have Apollos or Barnabas or Stephen the martyr or John the Baptist or whoever. They're there. They have elders. They have those that are caring for them, but Tychicus was close to Paul. That means he was close to the giving forth of the gospel revelation and the letters, the epistles that needed to be shared about. So Paul picks this man that we've already talked about to be a messenger, not just to be a courier, though he was faithful in that. But he had to know and enforce what the letter to the Colossians had. Have you ever had something like that? Where you've been tasked to share or open up something? You ever had family members on Thanksgiving Day or the day of Christmas or something? All of a sudden, a parent or an aunt or an uncle or a friend says, could you give us a brief devotional on Christmas morning? What are you going to do with that? You see where I'm going, beloved? We tend to forget. Those are moments. A fellow employee that comes to you and says, I just got to be honest with you. I don't know anything about this Christianity stuff. In fact, I'm angry about it. But can you help me with, you see, those are moments that come. You, as God's messenger, like Tychicus in such a huge way with the Colossian Christians, he had to know and defend or express things pertaining to the gospel and living in Christ. How shall we then live? What does it mean to be walking in the truth? What does it mean to turn away from evil things, right? What does it mean to mortify sin? What does it mean to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh? What does it mean to walk in His commandments? I was with my oldest, our son, yesterday, had a delightful time with him last night. And he was wanting to talk about what is the whole duty of man out of Ecclesiastes. You guys remember what that says? Fear God and do what? Keep His commands. I think Jabin had said, trust His commands. He said, actually it says, keep them. Walk in them. Walk in God's ways. We were talking about, so those are moments where you have those. They come. And Tychicus, he just shines forth as an example to you sisters, you brothers, you young people that are Christians. Paul says, all my state, that's the beginning of verse 7, all of my state, all of my affairs, I think that one of the translations says, all of my activities, Tychicus will make known unto you. I think they were eager to hear. That's the first part of it. And then at the end of verse 8, or I'm sorry, at the beginning of verse 8 in the ESV, it says, that you know how I am, right? That's what Paul's saying. Tychicus will help you know the state of activities, Rome, and how I'm doing. How he's doing. How are they doing? How's the gospel going? What's going on with Paul? What kind of hardship is he facing? In 2004, as I remember it, Sister Linda, that's when Mac and Linda faced that medical stretch where Mac had his first heart surgery and Linda had that infection. It wasn't just any kind of infection. Whew. And I started getting calls and communications from Christians from all over the place. Christians that they know that I didn't know, many of them. Letters and notes and calls and emails. Oh, they're doing fine. No, that's not enough. They needed to know more. Those people were loved. You see the weight of this? Paul is saying to the Colossians, you're concerned about me. You're concerned about my state. You're concerned about the gospel. And you're concerned about many things. Tychicus will take care of you. He's a messenger. He'll be a messenger. He'll be faithful in it. He'll let you know how I'm doing. Just beautiful. Beautiful. I've had years ago, in the early years of the church, every now and then I'd go to a conference and Mac wouldn't be there. Believe that or not. And these guys, his friends, are looking for Mac. And they get me. Now that's a letdown. Where's Mac? He's not here. Or I'll go see them, you know. Jeff, remember us going over there to see Ian Murray at the book table in Minneapolis that time. Or things like that. Sam Storms, when you guys got to meet him. And I hadn't seen Sam Storms in a long time, but I got to see him again. And there's a connection. And so in a sense, because of my pilgrimage and Mac's and my friendship and the years that we've had, that was a connection I felt. They wanted to know how Mac was doing. They wanted to know how Linda was doing after her surgery. Mac's in the hospital with open heart surgery. Linda's going, I mean, day to day with a difficult, would have, could have been fatal, what was going on with her infection. People need to know. Christians need to know. You have to be ready to be a steward of that. In love to them and in love to Christ and in love to the Christians, they need information. These aren't just some little tidy little letters that were just passed along. FedEx got them there. Everybody read them. Everybody went home happy. Lives were being snuffed out, meaning killed. People were being hard things. Madmen like Nero were out there, and they're out there today in this evil world. We need to know how to speak words, be messengers. How is so-and-so doing? Paul wants them to know. And I know that Paul would have wanted to know about them, right? How are they doing? How did he get feedback on the Colossians or the Ephesians? They faced persecutions. They were facing false teachers. They were facing strange philosophies. And they were facing worldly, wicked practices. And Paul would have wanted to know, how are they doing? Are they standing firm in the truth? Are they walking in the ways of Christ? Are they keeping His commands? Walking in all that He's revealed, our great Savior. That's what Paul's getting at. It's one thing to get the message there, beloveds, of somebody else's. It's another to be able to add to it and enforce it and help with it. But let me finish on this part. He was a messenger, yes. And he had to share about Paul and the state of the gospel and the state of conditions there and in other places. But look at the end of verse 8. And comfort your hearts. He's not just going to tell you about my circumstances and what's going on. I'm going to send a brother who's going to comfort. It says in the ESV what? Encouragement. He's going to encourage your hearts. Man, we just, right there, if we could have fresh grace to know how to do that with each other and other people out there. Oh, to know how to comfort or encourage people's hearts. I'm sure right now we could stop right now the preaching time and we could go around the room and you could share stories of people in difficult situations that needed you to comfort their hearts. Back to my early question, are you one of those kinds of faithful Christians? Are you a heavy? Do you drag people down? I don't know. Who knows what God's up to? It's just struggles. Boy, that doesn't help a lot of people. You've got to have words that are based upon the truths of God and the promises of God and the realities of what He said and does for us. You have to have words to comfort others. This is just magnificent. How can you just read through this and go on and say, well, enjoyed Colossians? You can't. I'm not going to let you. We're going to stay with this. We're going to learn from these men. We're going to let all the fresh wood and God's revelation of His word help us. Paul wanted it to help them, and he wants it to help us today, and it will. So let me close with this. In what ways would have Tychicus helped Paul? Help from Paul comfort their hearts? I just wrote down a few. Here's one, that they would know that Paul was alive and he was safe and he was upheld. The Colossians would have wanted to know that. Paul's upheld. He's in the prison, yeah. But he's the freest man in Rome. He is the leader in Rome. He's Jesus Christ's man in Rome. I studied years of history of cities and architecture, and Rome was huge in that study. And they missed the greatest man in that time period, the Apostle Paul. Forget all the other stuff that they built that rots. We're talking about a living gospel and a living Savior that Paul was about. Boy, howdy, those men, those leaders, they didn't know how to handle him. And so Tychicus would say, he's alive. He's safe. We use that word loosely, right? And he is upheld. God is with him. That's a part of what he would have said to him. How else could he have comforted their hearts? Here's another that they would know, the Colossians would know, that Paul's faith was strong and it was blazing forth. That Paul's faith, that this thing of his gospel, his life, his mission, his calling, it was very much still happening. His faith. Paul said to the Philippians, right? I rejoice, is what he says. I rejoice of the things I've been through because it's going to take you on. It'll advance you. It'll make you stronger. You'll press on more in the faith. You'll know me more. You'll trust me more, meaning Christ. You'll trust him. Paul knew these things. He lived them. And so Tychicus could tell those Christians that his faith was strong and that he's blazing forth. We need to hear that. Max shares these brief updates from Jeffrey Thomas with us. I tell Mac, nobody writes summary reflections like Jeffrey. God's with him. You know, you read him and you're encouraged. I'm sure the Colossian Christians wept and rejoiced and sang when they heard of Paul, the man that they loved, and they had not ever met him, but they knew that his heart was for them, and they knew God had him. That's another way. Here's another one. In what way could Tychicus encourage them or comfort their hearts? That Paul had an abiding joy and peace that this world cannot give you. He had an otherworldly joy and peace. Peace. This is the guy that's singing in jail at night. Who knows if he's even going to live till through the next day. Singing, joy, peace. In those conditions? Yeah, in those conditions. He had abiding joy and peace. What would that mean to the Colossians? That means you, Colossian Christians, that means you, Denton Christians, can have joy and peace because God doesn't change. He's forever, right? He's with his people. You have hard things. We go through things, difficult things, things that we can't even understand at all what's happening. And yet, by the grace of the Holy Spirit and his carrying us along, we can have joy and peace like the Apostle Paul. You can have it in Colossae. They learned of these things. There's been so much perversion over the last 100 years in America about the gospel and money and fame and success and all this great stuff that it's perverted the deeper realities of what it means to be a Christian. It's an inward thing. It's life. My, have we moved that far away from the gospel? Yes, we have in many circles in America. It's trinkety. It's cheap. It's a fake in so many circles. Paul had the real thing. He's talking about the real thing with the Colossian Christians. Beloved, we want him, Christ. We want joy and peace in him. We want to be fruitful in him. That's what Tychicus could tell them. I've seen it. This is what Paul's doing. One other. How else could they be comforted? That they would know that even though Paul was bound, the gospel was not bound. You can't snuff it out. They have burned books and Bibles, and they have printed bizarre counter-Christian literature for hundreds and hundreds of years. There are radio programs and writers today and weirdos in colleges and all trying to disprove Christianity, and the gospel of Jesus Christ blazes on. You cannot silence it. The Colossians are facing things, and Tychicus could have said to him, trust me, the gospel is not being chained. If anything, it's being unchained because these different leaders are coming in to see Paul, and they're walking away fearful. What do you think those men thought of at night? Those leaders who had been with Paul. Oh, there had to be tremendous fear. I'm going to face the one true God. That man has joy and peace. Tychicus could tell them, encourage their hearts in that. Yes, beloved, by the power of the Holy Spirit in Paul and in these men, the prison for Paul was the schoolhouse of the Lord Jesus Christ. They just came to him. What is yours? What's your schoolhouse? What is your place of living in him and walking with him? You see, beloved, you see, Tychicus was a faithful brother to serve the Lord Jesus Christ's people in wonderful ways. I've read about him for years, but I've never stopped to cherish what he was to those people and to us. We're going to see him in heaven, and we're going to see Epaphras, and we're going to see Apollos and these men. We ultimately should drive us to fresh praise to God and a submission to be vessels to the Master's use. He was faithful. You can be too. Let's learn from Tychicus. Let's learn together. Let's let our lives be enlarged. Let's let the Holy Spirit purify us in ways that we've held ourselves back. Lack of yieldedness. Lack of confidence in the power of God with you, whatever it may be. I'm not telling you to work something up. I'm just telling you, yield yourself. Be Christ's vessel. Learn from Tychicus. Your life, beloved brothers and sisters, your lives can in so many ways and is in so many ways being a faithful witness, a faithful servant to the Lord Jesus Christ. God, help us to learn from Tychicus to be a faithful servant, a faithful one. Amen. Let me pray. Father, we do thank you for this man Tychicus, that we get such a limited but wonderful picture of your man, your servant. We stand in awe Lord, of how you used him, how he was your vessel in your day for your glory. We ask you, Lord, to let our lives be freshly surrendered and yielded to whatever way we are to be faithful, that we would walk in the truth, that we'd be open and helpful to others, that we would possess the gospel with reality, with accuracy, with timeliness and sensitivity to others, that we would be your vessels. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the Word of God, this letter of the Colossians to the Colossians. Thank you not just for Paul, but thank you for these others, that they're all yours. Blessed be your holy name. Amen.